You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to the Trampled Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, February 4th, 2023. My name is Andy Vaughan and with me, as always, is Gordo.
All right. I'd rather really not be here this week, but I mean, I'm going to come along for the ride.
Good to see you. Good to have you back. My voice is a little shaky this week. I've been away this weekend in Amsterdam, and as a result, my voice decided to stay in the Netherlands and I only brought back a small amount of it. So bear with me, guys. I think we're all good, but I maybe don't sound quite as fresh as I usually do. The last few shows we've had our guest from across the pond, Mr. Joey Slenzak, on the call. And this week, Joey has come to end of term and we're welcoming back Mr. Dave Greenfield. How are we, Dave?
Yeah, not bad, guys. Thank you. You too.
Yeah, really good to see you, mate.
Good.
We're doing fine. I am quite looking forward to not having to search through Flash Score for Turkish games this week. So good traditional 3 p.m. UK kickoff times. And also, obviously, when Joey sends me his picks through, I also need to work out the time difference for the start of all the games. It's an added layer of complexity. And he uses decimal odds. There's loads of things going on there. Just a difference in culture that makes it slightly harder. But with you, 3 p.m. Saturday, boom. Dead simple.
I mean, the other thing about Joey's picks as well, which was, I think Gary posted it in our group, our editor Gary posted it in our group. He's like, just to let you know, Joey, every Turkish team you pick, I make an audible sigh and I have to go and find them. I need to find a hashtag for this. I need to find out if the city's called the same as the team. He's like, it's just, but it was good. He signed off.
He did very well. He always does. Trampled Bet favorite co-host, Mr. Joey Slenzak. He knows his stuff, especially in the weirder leagues and when it comes to goals. So he signed off with a good week, which we will recap just now. Before then, getting Dave fully involved in the middle section. I'm sure he's got a few horse races up his sleeve. And then the picks for the week ahead. So, let's do it. Let's recap last week. I started us off with my banker bet in Belgium. And when I say started, I maybe mean end, because chronologically this happened, you know, I think it was the second last game we had. Sunday, 8 p.m., Belgian Jupiler Pro League. We've just been backing Genk and they've just been doing fantastically, and this was a great spot to back them against someone in the relegation places in Serang, and Genk went ahead and won the game 4-0. So really, really comfortable banker win at odds of boot tonight.
I should preface all my picks last week by saying I went 0-4 and it was a fucking terrible week for not only my multiple sportsbook balances, but even at games I was at. I went and watched Partick versus Hamilton, that seen the only goal of the game be a Hamilton 1-0 win, come from the one chance that they had, despite Partick battering them. So it was not a great weekend. Well, if you're Jim Goodwin, it's the worst weekend. But
I'll just ask Gary just now if he's got like some sort of, I don't know, Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts jingle that he can
do. They can do for my offer. Yes,
yep, for your donut of a week.
It was a donut, and I started it off Clyde versus Dunfermline, top versus bottom, best versus worst team in the Scottish League One. Got a goal notification 4 minutes into this one. 1-0 Clyde. I was certain as I pulled out of my pocket that this would be a Dunfermline goal. They managed to get a goal back in the 38th minute, and they spent the rest of the game battering them to no avail. Clyde made a whole bunch of stubs. They started to get petulant. So there was a ridiculous amount of fouls in the game as well. Dunfermline just didn't have it. Perhaps from their midweek, they had to play against Dundee in the Challenge Cup in the midweek there, and also played against Partick a couple of days before, so perhaps a bit of tiredness. But losing to Clyde is a terrible thing to do, so, or not getting all 3 points. And that's what it will feel like for them there anyway. I would still back them in a heartbeat in this spot anytime it comes up. Alas, it will not come up for all we will yet. But no, I went no banker for me, which led us on to Joey.
So Joey, another solid week for Joey. Got his banker in very easily as well. Strasbourg versus Toulouse. Both teams to score equals yes. The game was won each after 25 minutes. As far as we were concerned, job done. Toulouse did go on and win the game 2-1. But in terms of Joey's banker, straight in there, 25 minutes done and dusted. Absolutely beautiful. And that was at the big odds of 4-6.
It wasn't even shite back Dunfermline odds here, 2-5. This was big boy time.
This was proper stuff. So a great result for Joey and two of the three bankers in the bag. That moves us on to the value bets. And I said it on last week's show that I didn't know quite how to organize my picks because this was a big priced value on Union Berlin away from home in the Berlin Derby against Hertha. And you'd get a Union win at odds of 11-8, which is pretty ambitious, really. And I was a wee bit worried that maybe selecting such an ambitious shout would come back to bite me. Shouldn't have been worried at all. They won the game 2-0. You got an early bet 365 payout. Union are just flying. Value in at a nice price of 11-8.
Well, let's go to the second one. This was my value pick this weekend. This is Eibar versus Leganés. Nothing happened in this game. I did not have it as a game where nothing should have happened. I had an Eibar winning this. They did have more of the ball. They had 15 goal attempts, 6 shots on goal, 3 shots off goal versus they had 61% of the ball as well. So they were the better team here. 0-0. Just couldn't get the ball over the line. Didn't even get a chopped off goal or anything to get us excited. I received no notifications. So that was a nil point on the value area. And Eibar had been really good at home as well. They were decent. So the opportunity came up, I would do it again, which isn't much consolidation for my 365 balance or anyone else who'd backed that. But yeah, I would do it again. So
I think you maybe jinxed it because I think it was last week you spoke about the game you get no notifications as them being your favourite games. Obviously, in the context of when you've backed them as a draw as opposed to a side winning. But yeah, unfortunately, you're not far away there, though. Do you know what I mean? You're the odds go away from returning a winner, so don't be too harsh on yourself.
If I'm backing games that I want to not be draws, that end up draws, I'm more heartbroken because a draw is my favourite result in football for putting money on. So when I'm landing them in spots where I shouldn't be, it's not great. But yeah, so nothing in the value for me and Eibar, which led us on to Joey's value, which was the latest available game, Joey, I believe.
It was the Monday night special. So it was Derby versus West Ham. And I think he just fancied Derby to get something from this game because he took them on the double chance. So a Derby win or a draw would pay out 2 out of 3. Nah, it went the other way. It went to 1 out of 3. West Ham won the game 2-0. So no value for Joey. Which took us on to the outsiders. Now, this is a slot we've been very, very good at this season. And I think it was the case of we came very close this week, but didn't quite manage a return. It was the only bet I didn't get in was my outsider, which was in the Belgian Jupiler Pro League for Kortrijk versus Oostende. And I took Kortrijk win and both teams to score because of the nice odds available at 13-5. Got the both teams to score bit, didn't get the win as the game ended in a 2-2 draw. So plenty of goals, just not the end result we were looking for. So close, no cigar.
Speaking of not getting any cigars, this was Celta Vigo versus Athletic Bilbao for me. I had taken this game as a draw, did not get it as a draw. I was correctly predicting the fact that there's basically no goals in this game. It was a 1-0 win to Celta Vigo in here. They did get a goal chopped off in the first minute, which was kind of adding a bit of an insult considering this was one of the later games for me when I was like, great, good start when you're looking for a draw to get a goal in a singular minute. However, yeah, Celta Vigo, they had a little bit better of the game. It took them about 71 minutes to actually score the goal here. shots on goal, 3-0. So it's not exactly a game that was many goals were predicted in, but yeah, didn't get the draw there. If you'd asked me who I thought would have won that outside of a draw, I wouldn't have picked Vigo. I'd have picked Bilbao. So I wouldn't have got anywhere close to it had I went on a hunch for a team. But yeah,
see,
so
you say that, but you were close again. You're one goal out again from the draw. It's not like you lost and a team gets scudded 8-1, as has happened to someone on this show before. But you know, you were really close. And another day that ends the draw. Unlucky.
I mean, I feel like quite a lot of the time I get good luck. So, you know, it's nice to have, at least if I'm having bad luck, I'll just do it on one week and get all of them wrong. So, yeah.
Well, talking about bad luck, here's Joey with Antalyaspor versus Umranyaspor in the Super League in Turkey. He had this game as a draw, and, well, it looked really good for a very long time until the 94th minute Antalyaspor winner, where they won the game 3-2. Now, that's
just constant for him at the moment in this outsider area, isn't it? Just gets getting like the maximum amount of heartbreak.
Yeah, that's just really sore and very, very unlucky. So not much we could really do or say about that apart from great pick, unlucky result. The final bit of business from last week's show is the charity bet. It was my turn to put on the charity bet last week, and I was hoping for an early winner. I picked a Friday night game, which, you know, can go one of two ways. A brilliant start, or you can ruin everything before the weekend really has even began. And that looked like it might happen when my pick of Standard Liège at home against Eupen went a goal down quite early on, but they turned it round in very nice style. They were even leading at the break. They went into halftime 2-1. They saw out the game with an extra goal in the second half and won 3-1. So my charity pick sailed home. Talking about sailing home, Mr. Joey Slanzak, his pick sailed home too with Beşiktaş versus Alanyaspor. He boosted the odds in this by predicting Beşiktaş not only to win the game, but also to be leading at halftime. So Beşiktaş in the halftime, full-time market. Beşiktaş went in at halftime 1-0, ran out 3-0 winners. So two charity picks done, dusted at good odds because Beşiktaş halftime, full-time was 11-8. Mine was 4-6. Straight on to Gordo for hopefully the first charity return of 2023.
Yeah, and I delivered on my promise to get 0-4. This was Werder Bremen versus Wolfsburg. Actually took Wolfsburg at 8-5 in the middle of the week. They drifted into evens by the time the game kicked off. So they became quite hot favourites there. Yeah, they went 1-0 down to a Nico Füllkrug penalty in the first half and then 2-0 down to a second Nico Füllkrug shot on target there that ended up. They were 2-0, so Werder Bremen were 2-0 up after receiving a pumping the last two games that they played in. They had to play against hot Wolfsburg there. Wolfsburg did pull a goal back in the 90th minute. But yeah, what was even more insulting about this pick was that I was at a football match at the same time and looked at it, and do you know, Flash Score do like a summary of the game if it's a big game? And it said, yep, Bremen, and it felt like Joey had written it. This is what annoyed me about it, right? Because it was Wolfsburg crushed by incredible Falk, which was Nico Füllkrug, right? And I was like, has he written this for me? I feel like this is something he would do. But yeah, so I'll be back in the charity this week. Absolute shanner of a week that I'm quite happy to put behind me. And I'm very comfortable with having Dave on the show to steady the ship for me here, because I feel like he's got a man who loves a 365 payout. So, you know, he might go 0-4 full time. 4-4, 2-0 got payouts.
Yeah, he's a calming influence.
Yeah,
is Dave
steady the ship?
Help steady the show this week. Get you back on track. But apart from that, it was actually quite a good week. 3-4, decent odd shouts in there too. And we'll look to build on that. Interestingly, I was just thinking there about the 2-goal payout offer. Obviously, it's come in handy a few times. I wonder if any bookie will ever look at giving us even better odds. But if your team goes 2-0 down, you lose, regardless of the end result.
Yeah, the end result. Yeah, I mean, that's somewhat harsh. Yeah.
But if they boost those odds a little bit, you know, would anyone be interested in such shenanigans? Probably. We're about to move into our short ad break before getting involved in this week's picks. But long-term listeners will know we also have a Patreon channel. And rather than the ad break, it's a video podcast. You get the middle section where myself, Gordo and Dave will just shoot the breeze, talk football generally, other sports too, and pick out any bets we think for this weekend that didn't make the show full-time, but we actually quite like. So we're going to head to that. If you fancy getting involved in the Patreon channel, it's www.patreon.com/trampledbet. Or just download the Patreon app and have a search for Trampled Bet. £6 a month. Give something back to the show. We really appreciate it. You get that lovely middle section and also all the picks written down every week. So lots of good stuff in there. Right. We shall see you after this short break. Welcome back, and now on to this week's picks for the weekend of Saturday, February 4th, 2023. As usual, same script as always, a banker pick from each of us, a value pick, an outsider pick, and then we will round it off with a pick from each of us for the charity treble, £10 of our own money on the treble. All proceeds go to a charity to be announced on next week's show, should we get a winner. So to kick us off, and because Dave is here, I'm kicking us off with a good UK 3 p.m. traditional kickoff time on a Saturday, the way football should be. So it's the English Premier League, Saturday 3 p.m, as I say. Brighton versus Bournemouth, and the home win here for Brighton is 1-3, and I just can't see past it. Brighton having a great season. They're now up to sixth place in the Premier League table, 31 points from 19 matches. Bournemouth have really struggled and they continue to struggle. They're 18th place, 17 points from 20 games. Brighton come into this in good form. They're off the back of two victories in a row against Liverpool, 3-0 at home in the league and then 2-1 also at home in the cup. They've taken 10 points from their last five league games. They sit third in the league's five-game form table. Lots of good things to write about. Bournemouth, they've been horrendous. They've not won in seven matches across all competitions. And that doesn't even include that many draws. That's just one each draw against Forest in six losses. Even worse, when you look at how they do away from home, six losses in a row dating back to October 2022. They're last in the league's five-game form table with just that 1 point, one each draw against Forest. I don't think Brighton will have a problem here, and I think odds of 1-3 are pretty good for a banker.
Yeah, they keep turning over Liverpool. It's basically every football match I fucking watch is us losing to Brighton. So that's been nice. But yeah, so I'll move us on to my banker. Dave guessed this before I'd even done my picks, and he was completely correct. This is Napoli away at Spezia. Napoli are running away with the Italian Sierra A. Juve have points deducted. They're kind of flapping about. It's between AC, like it's Napoli on 53 points, Inter on 40, Lazio on 38, Atalanta 38, AC Milan 38, Roma 37. So they're just, but they all just keep losing to each other, which is great. So we obviously had been talking about this prior to the show at the start of season. I fancied Arsenal and Napoli to do well in their respective leagues and did back it. I am paid out on Napoli. They're 10 points clear. So it's, you know, they're 13 points clear, actually. So I was paid out even before the last game. Anyway, Napoli are top of the league. Spezia, not very good. Around the kind of bottom echelons of the Sierra A, they're in 17th place, 18 points taken. The two times that Napoli and Spezia have played with Spezia at home in the Sierra A, Napoli have won by three goals. So they won 3-0 and 4-1 those two times. The only blip Napoli had recently was playing a half team against Cremonese, who are actually the worst team in the Sierra, where they lost 3-2 in extra time onto penalties. That was a cup game in there. Spezia's home form isn't fantastic. You look at them, they're the 15th best team in the league of 20 at home. Napoli away are the best team in the league. They've played 10 games, they've taken 25 points. Not much more to say about this pick, really, other than they're 4-11 or 2-5, depending on which bookmaker you are on. Dave, where are you for your banker?
So for my banker, I'm in the English Championship, 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Good man.
And it's Middlesbrough against Blackpool, and like Middlesbrough here at 6-11. So last time I was on this podcast, Middlesbrough were absolutely terrible. They're now sit third on 45 points from 29 games, where Blackpool are in 23rd. They've got 26 points from 27 games. You know, Borough, fifth in the form table, taken 12 points from the last five. They've got the fifth best home record. Blackpool have got the 19th worst away record. They've only also took 3 points in their last five games. Middlesbrough also, Chuck Barakpom is the league's top scorer with 14 goals. Carrick's had a really big effect since he's come in. Wilder's a good manager, but for some reason he couldn't get him going. But Carrick certainly has. He's doing great. They brought in Cameron Archer from Villa on loan. He got man of the match on his full debut last week. They've also brought in Jacob Ramsey's brother, Aaron Ramsey, who was on loan at Norwich for the first half. And Blackpool have recently sacked the manager, and they've just brought in a nice young up-and-coming manager with some new tactics. A manager you might have heard of called Mick McCarthy. Like, just give it up. Like,
he's just in Blackpool because he fancies the weekend and he hurts, doesn't he?
Yeah. Looking for some Big Mick energy is what they're... Yeah. But, I mean, come on. It's no disrespect to him. And if you're listening to the podcast, sorry, Mick. But that type of football's gone now, hasn't it? It's the way they play football.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not going anywhere, is it? But... No, I think Middlesbrough really have too much here for Blackpool. So, yeah, 6-11.
Great pick. Great pick, Dave. I'm liking hearing the involvement of Mick McCarthy. that's also...
I'm sure he's fantastic. Not listening, but, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, someone might pass it on to him. Dave, that's your card marked.
Yeah, your career as a Blackpool. Where would you play, like midfielder? Is that it's on the line, mate? You can't be slating the boss.
Great stuff. So all decent odd shouts there. 1-3, 4-11, 8-15, or 6-11, depending where you go. So if you were to combine the bankers as a treble, Brighton, Napoli, and Middlesbrough. 1.78-1 Bet365. So getting close to that 2-1 for the banker treble, which is wonderful. On to the value picks, where we try and find something more around even money that we think we really like the look of this weekend. I've been having great success in the Belgian Jupiler Pro League of late, so I'm going to stay there. This game's Saturday at 5:15 UK time for Serang versus Leuven, and the away win for Leuven is 4-5. So Serang come into this after a 4-0 hammering off of Genk at the weekend. Genk were my banker, and Serang got absolutely destroyed. They're surprisingly still dead last in the table with 15 points from 23 games. Leuven, they're in 10th place of the 18-team league, so mid-table team, 31 points from 23 games played. Now, it's interesting to look at the home away here. So Leuven, the away team here, have actually performed better on the road than they have at home this season. And that's, considering how many games, 20-odd games have been played, that's pretty rare. Over half their points have come as the away team. Serang, the exact opposite. They are terrible at home. So as I mentioned, they have 15 points. Only two of them have come when they've been the home team. So this looks really good for a Leuven win. The last time the clubs met, Leuven won 5-0 as well. So so that's pretty decent. I expect another Leuven win this time around, and you'll get them just now at just under even money at 4-5.
Nice one. Yeah. Are they playing at the Excelsior? Have they been asked to move out of their stadium for a little bit? Well, same as Clyde. So my value pick is a Saturday game. So my Saturday game is Lorient versus Angers. And I really like a home win for Lorient at 6-7. I mean, have a look around bookmakers wise, because you can get it at even money. Just the bookmaker I'll be taking on is at 6-7. So why do we like it? Well, Lorient are pretty damn good at the moment. They're sitting in sixth place in this league, just behind the European slots. They just beat the team above them, Rennes or Rennes, depending on how many of my French colleagues from our work are listening. They just beat Rennes at the weekend. They were 2-0 up at halftime. They like scoring early goals at the moment. They are playing against the worst team in the league. This is Angers, destined for future podcast references in the Ligue 2 and perhaps the Ligue Nationale, should they continue this run of form. Why are Angers so bad, you ask? Well, they have played 20 games. They are in 20th place and they have taken 8 points. They are the worst team in the league by 5 points. They just lost to other relegation candidates, Brest, 4-0 at home. They're in a terrible run at the moment, and I can't see it improving with an up-and-coming Lorient team. Lorient have been decent for the last few years. Harem Moffey is the guy who's making... He moved over from Cortric when he was about 17. He's now had 3 seasons. So he's 22. He's had 3 seasons in the French top league, and he scored 15, 20 goals a season at the moment. He's good. And he started off his account again this season for them. I think he's got a 10 so far, and we're not even really, we're not into the bones of when he will be scoring goals against teams that are actually relegated. I really think Lorient have got will win this game comfortably. You can get them around even money to do so. 6-7, 10-11, 9-10, 7-8, depending on bookmakers that you choose. But yeah, I mean, Angers' away form is awful, and their home form's not much better. Yes, yeah. Andy.
Lorient are away midweek, so Wednesday evening they're away at Reims.
Yes,
72.
Yes,
is that big?
It's obviously
a big price, but is it a good big price?
No, because Will Still is currently the manager of Reims. He's a Belgian English guy who he's been covered in the media all this week. They get fined every time they play. They get fined 22 grand because he doesn't have his pro license. They just drew with PSG one each. They've haven't lost a game in 10 for Reims, and they're brilliant. You know, they're a really, really good team. They've got Taran Moffey from here. They've got Florian Bagallon, the English boy. Dave, is that? I know he is English. I believe so. Let me just quickly confirm that, because I was looking at that earlier on today. Right, let's go into the Ligue 1 and let's go to the top scorers. Yeah, so it is Florian Bagallon. Yeah, so he's currently loaned out from Arsenal to Reims. He's 21. He's played 19 games for Reims this season, and he scored 11 goals. He's on fire in that league at the moment there. But yeah, so I wouldn't be touching the midweek, to be honest. I think 72 is probably quite a short price for a team that they'll be looking at Angers at the weekend. If they get anything out of that game, they're fine. They'll be happy with picking up 3 points at the weekend.
Yeah, got you.
So yeah, so that's my pick. Dave, where are we? What you got?
Yeah, so we're in League 2 again, Saturday, 3 p.m. And it's Gillingham against Crawley. And like Gillingham here at 11-10. So Gillingham sit 23rd. They've got 21 points from 26. They've only scored 14 goals, conceded 31. And Crawley are in 20th. They took 25 points from 25. They've scored 29 but conceded 41. Gillingham are 11th in the form table. Crawley are 22nd. So Gillingham have won 2 and a draw the last 3 games. They were 3-1 up against Swindon on Saturday. So you would have got paid out, but they drew the game 3-3 in the end. Crawley beat Salford last week, but they've only taken 1 point from the last 4 games before that. Looking at the head-to-head historical, Gillingham haven't lost to Crawley the last 8 games. They've had 5 wins and 3 draws. Now, if you'd seen at the start of the season, Gillingham were all over the shop. They were terrible. You would have put your ace on them to get relegated, but they've recently been taken over by an American guy called Brad Gallinson. Apparently he's a big property tycoon in America. And they brought in Neil Harris as manager. He was managing Millwall, played for Millwall, striker. And they've had quite a lot of signings so far. So they brought in Ollie Hawkins from Mansfield and Tom Nichols from Crawley, both strikers. because I need the goal scorers. They're both good goal scorers at League Two level. They've got George Lapsey from Mansfield. That's an exciting one. They've got his managed to get Tim Dieng in from Exeter. He's a French lad. He's 30, but midfielder, really big, strong, powerful guy. He's getting a really good signing at that level. And then they've just got Connor Marston from QPR on loan as well. So he's certainly
making big moves. Yeah.
It's shown that that's like in the last 3-4 games that they've played since he took over, that, you know, they're sorting themselves out and getting themselves away from trouble. So I would expect them to beat Crawley here. So.
Yeah, no, makes sense. It's just always slightly worrying when you start my value pick. They're 23rd in the table. But there's reason for that, and probably why you're getting such a good price on them as well. Good stuff. So all picks around the even money mark. So Leuven, Lorient, and Gillingham, combining them 5.66-1 if you fancied the value treble from this week's show. On to the outsiders then, gents. Statistically, we've been, and historically, very good at this. I like my outsider this week, although it's not massive in terms of odds. It is an outsider. So it's Gent versus Genk in the Belgian Jupiler Pro League on Sunday at 5:30. Genk feature regularly on this podcast. They won 4-0 as my banker last week. This must be the first time they're being featured in the outsider slot, especially just in the regular 1x2 market. Not even doing anything fancy here. I'm just looking at just a Genk win. 13-8 they are, and the bookies have priced up Gent at home at 7-5. So 13-8 underdogs, albeit slight underdogs. More than happy to take a punt on them at that price. Absolutely flying this year. They're top of the league by 6 points and a game in hand, so potentially 9 points. They've amassed 58 points from just 22 games. Really good record. Gent, so you'll see me trying to pronounce my T's and my K's very carefully here. Gent, the home team, the one we aren't backing, are back in fifth spot with 38 points from 23 matches. The form table favours Genk with 12 points from the last 5 games compared to Gent's 7. Genk, they're just winning games continually, and it doesn't matter if they're home or away. Their away game record this season is tremendous, 24 points from 10 away matches. So that's 24 points out of possible 30 on the road. And that's up against Gent's 21 points from 11 home games. Head-to-head wise, the team's pretty equally matched in recent years. They've been trading victories back and forth, but Genk are just a different proposition this season, and them being underdogs is a great spot. So Gent versus Genk, the away from home team, Genk, the ones with a K, 13-8. They're my outsiders.
Absolute fucking nightmare, that game, just for anyone. That, are we doing this just for paid, like, for just the Patreon content? It's like, who did Andy bat? I'm not sure, to be honest. I was interested in one of the teams.
The away team, the one with a K.
Fair enough.
Genk.
Well, no such confusion in my picks this weekend. So I'm in the Sierra B, which is now an early payout league. Thank you very much, Bet365. The amount of times that, well, to be fair, I don't often lose a 2-0 win in Italy. It's just more like getting a 1-0 win in Hodna. But yeah, so I'll be taking, and we're going to the Arena Garibaldi, which is another brilliantly named stadium, for Pisa versus recently promoted but taking the league by storm, Sud Tirol. So why? Well, I fancy Sud Tirol for an away win at 16-5 here. You know, pretty big odds for a team to be doing so here. And also sporadic odds around, you can get them at like 29-10 at various different places, and like 21-10 at other bookies. So they clearly aren't that interested in pricing up this fixture. But 365, I've got them at 16-5 just now. So anyway, let's talk about why. So Pisa started the season fantastically. They were an oft-featured team for us, but they're now down in eighth, and this is in a league of 20 teams. Sud Tirol, on the other hand, weren't a team that had even been on the radar because they were just promoted. They were looking like relegation fodder, but they're now up in fourth, just 5 points behind the automatic promotion places, and four points behind Regina. Now, they just beat Regina last week. They beat them 2-1 here. They're beating good teams around them in the table. And Pisa are in a bit of a kind of slump at the moment. So Pisa's home record's always good. You know, there's nothing to take away from that here, which is why they're priced at 10 to 11. They did draw against Genoa, they did draw against Como, and they did lose to Cittadella in there. Before that, they were very, very good. Sud Tirol, however, their last five matches, they've only lost one. They won 4 and lost 1 in that, beaten Regina, Venezia, Brescia, and Cittadella in here. Now, you'll notice from the teams that they're beaten, these are teams that have just came out of Serie A. Like, this is teams like Venezia were there last season, Brescia are only 2 years out there. They beat Pisa earlier on this season in the reverse fixture 2-1. And I think 16 to 5 is too big a price for a team in a bit of a slump for Pisa here. So I'm happy to take them at that price. You do now get early payout in this league, but I would expect to probably sweat this one. They're more likely to win it 2-1 or 1-0, to be honest, than getting a 2-0 payout. But I like Sud Tirol in this spot. Dave, I'm assuming you're taking us far, wide, somewhere exotic. What fixture are you bringing us in the outsider?
It's a very exotic place. It's Wolverhampton.
Fantastic.
It's a Premier League Saturday, 3 o'clock again, and it's Wolves against Liverpool. I'm going to take Wolves here at 16 to 5. We'll prefix this with two of my good mates, Steve and John, are both Wolves fans, and they're absolutely going to hate me for picking Wolves.
The curse.
Wolves are sitting 17th there. They're taking 17 points from 20. Liverpool are 9th, taking 29 points from 19. But, you know, we know what kind of run Liverpool have been on lately. They both took 7 points from the last 5. So they both got the same 4. Wolves have lost to City and United, which, you know, you'd expect them to lose to City and United. But they beat West Ham, they beat Everton, and they've drew with Villa since Lopetegui's come in. You know, Liverpool have got that draw with Chelsea. But then they've lost to Brighton twice, as Andy said earlier. Lost to Brentford. Just in a really,
we're not,
really...
We're not good.
Yeah. They're just not playing well either. But, yeah, you look at Wolves, like I said, they've settled under Lopetegui. He's a good manager, you know. They brought in Yao Gomez, however you want to. Probably a bit of a flair on his name, but from Flamengo, who looks an exciting talent. They brought in Sarabia from PSG forward because they need a goal scorer. But, you know, they brought in Dawson from West Ham to shore him up at the back a bit. And Dan Bentley from Bristol as a backup keeper. They've also got Fabio Silva. It's come back on loan. Whether he's going to be in the fold or pushed out again, I'm not too sure. But with their lack of strikers, he might be staying, I think. And then you look at Liverpool over, you know, they brought in Gakpo, which good player, but is it something that Liverpool needed? I think, you know, maybe they needed centre-half with Van Dijk out. They certainly need some central midfielders.
I mean, we are younger than our starting. This podcast has younger guys on it than our starting midfield trio at the moment, which isn't indicative of a team that you'd say will enjoy pressing.
Yeah, just I don't know what Klopp's got this thing, hasn't he? Apparently, where it's is it? I can't remember. Is it in 7th or 8th year or something? A club or something like that, where it just apparently all just goes to pot. I can't tell you.
Yeah, he downs. It's not. It's like this whole thing. He's only managed 3 clubs before, and when it got to year 7 at Dortmund, and year 7, it's like there's a whole thing about, like, they reckon that people are using performance enhancing drugs in football when it comes to this stuff, and like people's body get fatigued after that amount of time. It's things like caffeine, doping, and all this. Like, there's a whole bunch of conspiracy theories behind it as well. But, you know, at the moment, we have fucking down tools. Like, we're playing, you know, he's trying to bring through youth prospects, which has never really been Klopp's thing. Like, he's brought in guys from abroad, and he's got young guys like, I was going to say Kashinya, but that's the ex-Rangers manager. He's got guys like Ben Doak coming in, Bajetic, Harvey Elliott, and he's trying to start a lot more younger guys, and we just don't have the talent around those players to let them learn how to play Premier League football. it doesn't work when you're playing against teams that, like, the Premier League's never been more competitive than it is just now. Like, look at Brighton and Brentford and different teams like that who you would say, oh, relegation fodder years back, and now they're just like, we make it. And Wolves are no exception to this. Look at Wolves in 17th place in the Premier League have just signed Paulo Sarabia, PSG. Yeah. It's mental.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool are 5-6, and you're not touching Liverpool at 5-6. Oh yeah, so I just think, you know, the way it's going, you can see Wolves putting 10 men behind the ball, soaking a bit of pressure, and
beating us 4-0.
They've got players to play on the attack. I mean, they've still got Jimenez, Traore. There's still got good players that Lopetegui can get into games. And yeah, I'm willing to take a chance on Wolves here at 16-5.
I think that's a good price, and also because the only other thing I'll add to that is I've listened to an interview with Andy Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold, and they were asked who their least favourite player to mark was, and it was Traore. Yeah. And it's like, it's not because he's incredible at football; it's just like a train running by you. Like, if you're slightly off balance, he just knocks you out of the way. Like, and he's just so, like, he goes against Liverpool's defence is like all about attack, and he's just always up the other end, like in the corner already. But yeah, so I think you're on to a winner there, Dave.
Big price as well, Dave, 16-5, same as Gordon's price of 16-5. So that boosts the odds for my smaller outsider this week. So the outsider treble would be Genk, Sutterol, and Wolves. Combined odds of 45.3-1. So nice big heavy price there. And as usual, I'll be taking those teams as a tricksy. So four different bets, all the doubles and the treble. So that 2 out of 3 returns you some cash. Okay, gentlemen, on to the charity picks. Still looking for, we've had a dry January.
Nice one.
Well, I was going to say, as some of our listeners may have had, probably not, but as some people I know have attempted to do, reverse that and get some money for a charity in February. So a pick from each of us. And my pick, I'm staying in Belgium because it's been very good to me. Saturday, 5:15, again in the Jupiler Pro League for Eupen versus Westerlo. I've successfully backed against Eupen a couple of times, and I've successfully backed against them in the charity slot last week. I'm going to do it again this week. They've slipped down to 15th in the league, just one spot above those relegation places, and their form is rotten, taking only 4 points from the last 5 matches. Westerlo, they're 7th in the table, 34 points from 23 games. They're also 7th in the form table with 7 points from their last 5 games, and they've also scored 7 goals. They just really like the number 7. And I fancy them to win away at Eupen this weekend. And you'll get better than evens for that. And I think that's a really good price, as they could easily be favourites, but you'll get them at odds of 5-4. So Westerlo to kick off the charity bet.
Okie dokie. Well, I am in England for my charity, the only time I'm visiting the Great British Shores this weekend. And a pick where I would absolutely love the opposite result to come in for other bets that I have on. However, I cannot see for the life of me anything but a Man City win away at Tottenham here. Now, I've now watched Spurs more than I mean, they seem to be on the telly constantly, whatever I'm doing, like in their FA Cup and whatever. They beat Preston 3-0, that was fine in there. Man City, there's been a bit of weird stuff going on this week with Cancelo, obviously, getting sold out from under their nose. But can you, for the life of you, see Tottenham beating or getting anything off Man City at the moment? They were 2-0 up the last time and lost 4-2. Like, even with a 2-0 lead, they didn't get a win in this game. You can get Man City at 7-10, 3-4, 8-11, depending on which bookmakers, again, you go to. I mean, Man City have had a couple of blips in there. You know, they already have beaten, they've had a couple of blips. They've already beat Tottenham. You know, Tottenham already lost to Arsenal there. They're kind of out with the title chase here. If you look at Tottenham's last 5 games in all competitions, the wins they've had against have been against Preston, Fulham and Portsmouth, and their losses have been against Man City and Arsenal in there. Can't see anything but a City win away from home here. And Yeah. The only thing I'll caveat this with is Tottenham do well in this fixture, but that is not the Tottenham team of this year. I mean, Conte looks like he's... How many weeks has he got left in him at Spurs? Like, if it wasn't for Lampard and the rest of the boys in the Premier League and Brendan Rodgers, you know, continually looking at the sack race here, he'd be the next guy on the papers for getting punted. So, yeah, I don't think Tottenham have got this in them. Do you want to add something there, Dave? You just look like you were...
Yeah, there's just a weird side in the Spurs. Like, one minute you think they're going to do all right, and that they're shocking, and when you think they're going to be shocking, they pull a result out from somewhere. But like you say about Conte, he looks like a beaten man at the minute. And like the players that he's trying to bring in, like Dan Juma, like he's an okay player, but the guy nearly signed for Everton, and then like ripped up his contract apparently because like when Lampard got sacked, and then goes to Spurs, and you think so Spurs and Everton are like in for the same player.
Yeah.
It's like he wasn't much, he was okay when he played over here before, and I think he's been doing pretty well in Spain, hadn't he? But I don't know. They're a strange team.
I just think like City had a wee blip against Tottenham and they still managed to score 4 goals and win the game.
Yeah.
I can't see it being any different. Like, it's not a different Tottenham team, you know, that's going out. Same guys. And City have still got all the talent in the world playing for them at the moment. I mean, and as I said, nothing in a season-long betting kind of area for me would make me happier than a Tottenham win. But it's not happening, right? It's just not happening. So Man City to win in here. Dave, how do you round out the show for us?
So I'm going to round us off back in League Two.
Brilliant.
And it's, again, Saturday, 3 o'clock. It's Carlisle against Harrogate. And you can get Carlisle at 3-4. Carlisle are fourth. They've got 48 points from 27. Where Harrogate are down in 21st. They've only took 24 points from 26 games. Carlisle are top of the form table, taking 12 points from their last 5, where Harrogate at bottom of the form table. They've only took 2 points from their last 5. Carlisle's calmly going about their business, picking up results. Nobody's really talking about them. They're only a point behind Northampton in third for the top 3 that go up automatically in this league. So, you know, like I say, if anybody had said to you, where's Carlisle? What league are they in? How are they doing? I'm not sure you'd...
You'd be have that off the top of your head. I'd be relying on you, to be honest, Dave, for that one.
Yeah, like I said, they're just calmly going about the business. They've also got the top scorer in Kristen Dennis. He's got 16 goals this season. When you're looking at Harrogate, Carlisle have only lost 2 in their last 6. Harrogate, 2 draws, 3 losses from their last 5. The reverse fixture was a 3-0 draw. But at Harrogate, but no, we can certainly see Carlisle just rolling on and picking up the points here and continuing to do so.
I think you're right, because this was one of the picks where you sent them through, and I try not to look at people's picks before it because I want them to do the explanation. But Harrogate's away form is so shit. Yeah. They've taken 8 points from 12 games, and if it wasn't for the teams who are definitely going to get relegated, they would be like one of the worst. So yeah, I think you're on to a winner here with Carlisle.
Excellent. Carlisle, Dave and Gordon, similar again, both 7-10 picks, similar in price again. Me with the big ambitious 5-4 shot. So the charity charity treble is Westerlo, Man City and Carlisle at odds of 5.5-1. So hopefully £65, Gordon, you can be sending to a charity of your choosing.
I will be doing that. I think this is a really good charity bet this week. I think we'll get nothing mental in there. Sometimes I've got 4-1 shot in the charity outsider, but I'm happy with that one.
The only dodgy thing is me in Belgium, because it's not a league that gets the 2-goal payout. But all the other picks from this week's show do get that 2-goal payout if you're using Bet365. So the charity treble, 5.5-1. If you took all the picks from the show and combined them as a 12-fold, we're looking at 5,589 0.57 to 1. That's the dream, lads. The mega
short
coupon.
Price. Short price on the mega coupon this week.
The mega coupon is the dream. And we hope to hit it one day. And at that point, we'll probably just wrap the show up forever and disappear. But that's always the dream. Dave, it's been great fun. Great to have you back. I'll just point a couple of things out before we wrap the show up. And it's that we have a Facebook group where Dave, Joey, Jerome, regular listeners as well, Matt, Michael, the whole lot. Big conversations there every week. We will be, obviously, the Super Bowl is this weekend. We've talked a wee bit about it and some of the prop bets you can get during the middle section of the show, but I'm sure there'll be a thread there on the Facebook group for everyone to get involved and talk about your favourite bets. It is one of my favourite betting weekends of the year, purely to bet on the national anthem. So have a wee look out for the thread. I'll start there with all the analysis of Chris Stapleton and how long I think he's going to take singing the US national anthem at the beginning of the game. I'll then probably turn the TV off. It's all about that for me.
Up the road. Hey, I'll see you later on, boys. There's football at the end. I've had my fun.
Have a big Super Bowl party and it's done. It's done at 1 a.m. once the act like, is over.
I just imagine that. We don't watch. No. That's it. It was the only over, mate.
I've got recorded highlights from the J League we could all watch.
Kyle Sanga would really fancy this one as well.
No, but it is Super Bowl weekend, and I know that a lot of the Facebook group do know their stuff when it comes to American football, so I'll be following that closely. If you're not part of the Facebook group, just search Trample Bet Podcast on Facebook. Come and join. Free to join. Really good community. Come and be part of it. Mentioned it earlier, the Patreon channel. So it's www.patreon.com/TramplBet, or just download the app and have a search for Trample Bet. £6 a month to give something back to the show. You get a wee bit of extra content in there, the middle section. But most importantly, the cheat sheet where all our picks are written down and you can just pull it up in a handy JPEG format. Very good for this week. To find out if I've actually backed Ghent or Genk. It's Genk.
Ghent.
To join us on Facebook. And thank you to everyone listening. Dave, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure, guys.
And Gordo, good to see you as always. We'll see everyone back this time next week. Have a lovely weekend. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trampled Bet podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon, and Gary Black. Part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sport-social.co.uk. Sports Social Podcast Network.